been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
You are listening to the Seattle Shrimp Tank, coming to you live every other week on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from the 505 Broadway Studios. I'm Brad Berger, co-hosting with Dan Whedon. And you can always catch a replay of the podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes so you never miss an episode. And if you are subscribed, please take the time to rate our podcast on iTunes. Your feedback helps us grow and improve. Well, Dan.
Welcome back, Brad. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You, I know you were doing some flying and some certifying and some things like that. We do welcome you back, but I got to tell you, I got to tell you, I have to be completely honest, we almost gave your job away.
Well, you know, I was a little...
Because JB, you put a vowel, if you buy a vowel, it could either be a jab or a jib. We almost gave him a job. He actually is our... Yeah. JB did a great job.
Well, I thought he did a great job. I had an opportunity to watch the wrap-up video and... I can say I think we should both be confident that if there's ever a time when we've got to be out of studio for either a personal or professional event, we've got a great substitute, another added resource for the Seattle Shrimp Tank.
We have some bench strength is what
Absolutely.
We have. So listen, you know, I had an interesting thing happen just leading up to this, which I think correlates with the Shrimp Tank. I was interviewed... Believe it or not, I've never been. I was on Working Mom website.
So what do you know about being a working mom?
Nothing. I know absolutely nothing about either working or being a mom.
Okay.
But I was interviewed because I came through a journalist who was looking for experts in entrepreneurship. And the topic was, you know, teenagers look at Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and some of the other young entrepreneurs, and they say, hey, that's what I want to do. I want to be an entrepreneur. And the questions that were coming from the journalist was, is this something that parents should try to squelch? Is no, go get your college degree. No, don't be an entrepreneur. Go work for the man and all of that. And so I gave a contrarian view on, as a matter of fact, because schools don't do a very good job of teaching entrepreneurialism, parents should be supportive and guiding them. And there's some things that you want to do. Yes, you still want to go get a college degree. And yes, there are some things that you need to be able to do. But that this country was built on entrepreneurs, and we should be building them.
I couldn't agree with you more, because obviously, you know, other than my short time in the military on active duty service, my entire life has been essentially spent as an entrepreneur,
right,
being self-employed and working for oneself.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting, and obviously people are entrepreneurs all the time, but I think that, and with our guest today, I'm going to ask him some of this as well. I think we as as parents, I think this is where it really comes down. Parents have to say, no, instead of going and getting the traditional job, and people need to do that, yes, if you have an entrepreneurial bent, if that's something that excites you, let's take a look at it. Let's find out. Let's go find some mentors. Let's go do some shadowing. Let's go talk to people who are actually doing it and find out. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought that you might find that of interest yourself.
Yeah, well, I think back on myself, and maybe that it was either accidental or maybe I was just always destined to be an entrepreneur, but I was raised in a family that essentially taught the following: you can have really anything you want, you're just going to have to figure out how to go get it. And oftentimes, many of those things require money. And I remember my first job, which was hustling, you know, lawn mowing gigs.
Yeah.
And those sorts of things, or finding ways to go out there and you know, beating the bushes literally, and figuring out how it was that I could find jobs to have people hire me so that I could earn money and I could get the things that I wanted to do.
You know, I'd be willing to say, you use the word accidental, the accidental entrepreneur. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if many of the entrepreneurs who are out there fell into it by accident. And I think, you know, part of what we try to do at Shrimp Tank and part of what so many people like our guest do are try to help people to be more non-accidental, to be more intentional about saying, yes, I want to own a business. Yes, I've got a product or service that I think a lot about. And yes, I want to do this. How do I do it?
Yeah, you bet.
Well, you know what? I think it's about time. We've talked about our guest twice, and nobody knows who he is yet. You want to tell us a little bit about Jeff?
You bet. So our guest today is Jeff Levy, and oftentimes is the case when we've had guests on in the past. I've had a long-standing relationship with our guests. That's not the case in the with regard to Jeff, but Jeff came to me through what I think is an important element of being an entrepreneur or a business individual, and that's through networking. So I belong to a number of groups, and I remember the individual who said, you absolutely must meet Jeff. That was through my Service Academy Business Network. So that's where I have a monthly breakfast meeting. Yes, there's some war story exchanges, certainly, and we get a lot of opportunity to do that. There's a lot of inner service rivalry as well that goes on, and we've talked about.
Are you shocked? Yes,
that's gone on. That's gone on in the past. But I had an opportunity to talk to a gentleman, and he, of course, knows what I do. He knows a style of the delivery of Cornerstone Financial Strategies. He also knows that we did the Shrimp Tank. He said, "Well, you absolutely, positively have to meet Jeff Levy." So I reached out to Jeff, and I said, you know, this individual suggested that we get together, that we would probably have a lot in common and that we want to have some common conversations about. So Jeff was kind enough to, we've got some construction going on in our studio.
I was going to say, what is going on?
That's my engine getting up to speak.
You know, so here's what I would say. For those of you who subscribe to and watch the Atlanta show, you know, they've got a brand new studio.
Yeah, I
built,
saw that.
And so we were not going to be upstaged by them. So
I immediately hired a crew,
and we've got it going on next door. But anyway, Jeff and I had a fantastic conversation over breakfast. He's an author. His story is amazing. What he does is amazing, and it's a fantastic fit for what we do here on the Shrimp Tank.
Well, very good. You know, Jeff Levy, I was going to have this intro here. I think Brad did a pretty good job. We want to hear you do some talking. Great. And so I've got a first question for you. I just in perusing your website, one of the things that came out is that you do a lot of teaching and creating curriculum to help students. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe teenagers, maybe young adults, students to create their own system. Let me see how to students design a personal development plan for self-employment, sure, which is really kind of what we're talking about. Can you talk a little bit about how that looks?
Absolutely. And guys, thanks for inviting me today. I really appreciate that. And I also want to comment on your experience with this sort of mom's network on entrepreneurship. But one of my loves in life is teaching. And when I went to college, my goal was actually to be a teacher. And that was sort of my foundation. But because of economic reasons, I went to work immediately and fortunately went to work for some entrepreneurs. So I had actually put aside my interest in developing curriculum and teaching and helping young people for many years. And recently, and coincidentally, actually, when my book came out, I was contacted by a couple of colleges to see if I would help them put together curriculum. And that curriculum is aimed both at the community college and four-year degree. And I sort of take a little different approach to entrepreneurship than others. Oftentimes, people are in search of what the perfect business is, what the concept is that if you build it, they will come. My approach is really develop your own plan B. I'm sorry, develop your own plan A, not your own plan B. And plan A means the things that you're willing to consider non-negotiable in your life. And if you can be clear on those, if you could really commit to those, then a business may be the right tool to help you get there, where oftentimes working for someone else doesn't for many, many reasons.
Yeah.
And if I can comment on that, what your opening statement.
Yes, please.
You know, I think a mom's major responsibility is to protect their children. And one of the protective comments you could make is just get a job, work for one company, retire at 65, and be, you know, financially okay for the rest of your life. Well, that is thinking that doesn't exist today.
Right.
People change jobs every 3 to 4 years. So I've seen a change in my own coaching business where parents are more helping children who've got a degree in liberal arts, who have a degree in French literature, et cetera, that have helped them to maybe think more entrepreneurial, think more about being in your own business. And I think there's some personal qualities you have to develop that will serve you whether you work for someone else or yourself.
Jeff, just a quick follow-up on that. You know, one of the things I've said on the show before is I actually think that being an employee is more risky than being an employer. Ask the people from Enron. So you're finding that to be something that maybe coming out a little bit more and that you're talking to people about?
Every day.
Okay.
And Warren Buffett has a quote that I actually love, and the quote is that if you think being an entrepreneur is scary, try working for somebody else until you're 60 and then living on Social Security for the rest of your days.
Right. That's great.
It's a wonderful quote.
So, Jeff, we've had a number of authors on our show. You are among them. Tell us a little bit about your book and the title of it, where people can get it, and what the themes are.
Sure. It's called Making the Jump into Small Business Ownership. It's available, of course, you know, Kindle, Amazon, Nook. But if you have an iPhone or an Android or a Windows phone, you can also go to your App Store.
Okay.
And get the book as an audiobook for $4.99. We made it as an app so that it can have the broadest possible distribution.
Excellent.
And it's less than a Starbucks coffee.
I guess it depends on what you order. but the book in 2013, the book was rated one of the top six business books by one group, at least one reviewers. And we're very, very proud of that. I actually had no specific desire to write a book. But a very respected young business guy in Seattle came to me and said that he wanted to write a book. Would I help him? And as we dialogued it, we couldn't describe help, so it became more co-authoring.
Mm-hmm.
And so we collaborated with at that time, a 32-year-old guy and a 62-year-old guy, different perspectives, but both very fully ingrained in helping people start businesses. And what the theme of the book is not once you start what you need to do, but what is your mindset? What is your preparedness? What is your checklist that you really need to go through before you start your business? And I have to tell you, one of the most gratifying things that happens to me today is if someone calls me to consider using me as a coach and they sit down and they've got the book in front of me and the book has yellow markings on it and it influenced them in some positive way.
So I've got a quick follow-up to that because I do a lot of work with business owners. And one of the items that they struggle with. These are individuals, typically by the time I'm working with them, they're in well-established businesses, and we may be even talking about succession planning. How am I going to exit the business? You know, what I'm going to do? And I've written a number of white papers on this particular subject. And one of the things that I've oftentimes held, and I'd love your comment on this, is one of the very first things you should do in establishing a business is determine on that day, what is your exit strategy from day one? What does that look like for you so that you'll know when that day comes? What would your comments be on that?
Well, I think that's a very important perspective because the aligned with that is the idea that you're going into a business not to create a job for yourself, but to create something that works for you. And one of the ways of it working for you is to create equity and value that when you choose, you can exit and get a return for your efforts. And that's one of the most significant differences as well between someone starting a business and someone working for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge people when I talk with them today is to show me where loyalty is on the balance sheet. Show me where equity is on the balance sheet that you've created by spending 5 or 10 years with a company. And it doesn't exist.
Quick question. I want to catch this before we head into break. It looks like you do a lot of work with franchises and people who purchase franchises. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I at 53 years old, I sold my interest in a company that I had helped form about 17 years prior to that. And as I was looking forward into what I wanted to do for the next so many years, I thought of franchising because I'm a really good implementer as opposed to a visionary. And there are some other elements of the franchise business model that I found very attractive, and I felt I could help an awful lot more people. But I'm honestly quite balanced between understanding the differences between starting an independent business and a franchise business. But today I can sit in front of you and say I've helped about 280 people in our community sign franchise agreements and start their own businesses. And I don't think any of them, or a very small percentage of, would have done that if it was coming up with their own idea and then creating their own business.
You know, that's really interesting. I know we're going to dive into that more, but right now we got to take a commercial break. And so we are going to take that short break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with our guest, Jeff Levy, for our Hot or Not section, we're going to find out how Jeff likes his cheeseburgers, if he wants them his own way. Don't walk away. We'll be right back with more from the Shrimp Tank.
The Seattle Shrimp Tank is brought to you by Cornerstone Financial Strategies. Financial planning is a lot like owning a sports team. If there's no one there coordinating the team members, each will do what they do best individually, but will lose as a team. Why? No one will know what the other's game plan is. At Cornerstone Financial Strategies, we understand that people try to hire the best professionals, attorneys, CPAs, financial advisors, etc., each for their specific expertise, but may fail to have them communicate as one team with the same goal, your desires and values. This is why at Cornerstone Financial Strategies, we offer value-based comprehensive financial planning. And since money is not the most important thing in life, we ensure your custom-catered, personalized plan will take into consideration your most important goals aligned with your most deeply held values. For more information, visit us on the web at www.liveyouridealife.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, members of FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning investment advice offered through Financial Advocates Investment Management, a registered investment advisor doing business as Cornerstone Financial Strategies, LLC, and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
So I am hoping that the regulations that the current administration plans to reduce allows Sue to read less of the half end of that and, you know, void where prohibited.
We're now ready for our next commercial break.
Yeah, there we go. So welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we interview young entrepreneurs along with some of the brightest and best CEOs in Seattle. I'm Brad Berger, along with my esteemed co-host, Dan Whedon. You can always catch a replay of the podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. For our next segment, Dan took us out with an intriguing hot or not question.
Well, hot or not is a little game we play, Jeff, if you haven't heard some of our podcasts yet, where I ask you, or Brad and I ask you, questions about business or maybe even life, and you're going to tell us if it's hot or if it's not and why, and at the end you win absolutely nothing. So here's my first hot or not question. I said, how do you like your cheeseburgers? And, you know, there's a lot of fast food franchises that make cheeseburgers, and so my hot or not is fast food franchises.
I'd say not. In part, I'm a hamburger purist, so I wouldn't ever put a piece of cheese on a hamburger.
I
thought you wanted honesty. And
oh, you we do absolutely want absolutely honesty. That took a turn I wasn't expecting.
Well,
please go
well,
on.
Well, now, if you put cheese on a hamburger, it's no longer a hamburger, it's a cheeseburger.
Well said.
Right, so it's a cheeseburger. But anyway. Yeah.
You know, typically the kind of clients I'm, and the reason not, I mean, I'm sure there are growth segments in specialty hamburgers. Everybody talks about the In-N-Out burger out of California, and that's their dream is to own one of those. And getting off of hamburgers, I don't know if you can talk about chicken, but certainly Chick-fil-A mm-hmm. is creating a big interest. But the majority of clients that I work with really don't want the lifestyle of a restaurateur and a restaurant owner for a lot of reasons. So that's why I'm a not. But
okay.
But somebody else might say yes.
Well, we only care about what you say right now, Brad.
So, Jeff, we talked a little bit about this earlier, succession planning, and the question I have is giving businesses to the kids, hot or not?
Hot.
Okay, so tell us more.
Well, I think that, you know, when people build a business individually, they tend to get wrapped up in it personally. It is really who they am, mm-hmm. who they are, excuse my grammar. And so to leave, you have to have a place to go. And many times people do not have a place to go. So if you have children that are interested in the business and competent in the business and potentially growing up in the business, it is just a natural integration to have them take over. And so I absolutely believe in it. A lot of the people that I help in the franchise world are actually they're doing it with the dream that their children might participate, even though you can't control that,
right.
Honestly. I think that's a hot area. And interestingly, specifically with today being Women's Day, I think the statistics and percentages are that women taking over family businesses are at an all-time high and growing as well.
So I have a hot or not that is taking us a little different direction. Hot or not, Brooklyn, New York.
Whoa, steaming hot.
Steaming hot. Brooklyn's going through. I mean, you're a Brooklyn guy, yeah. And we talked about that at the before the show. They're going through a whole metamorphosis, sure. And part of it has to do with business, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which for many years was basically the slums. But, you know, today you can't buy a brownstone in Williamsburg, New York. And the economy in New York is hot, it's strong, it's growing, it's fun to be in, it's a much safer city. So when I leave here today to go visit some family, I have a Brooklyn Where My Story Begins sweatshirt that I'm going to put on that's my normal stuff. So I
and you saw that. Sandy Koufax pitch in Brooklyn. Is
I
that,
did.
Wow.
I did. Yes.
So, Jeff, because I know this is so common with many of our guests, I mean, we have a limited amount of time to ask these questions, and there's so much more to learn about you. But could you tell us a little bit about the Entrepreneur Source and, you know, what you do in that capacity,
sure.
How you help individuals establish what might be the next stage of their life?
Sure. The Entrepreneur Source is actually a franchise company itself that was started in 1988. So it's got a lot of history. And it was started by a gentleman that still runs the company today. And I became a sort of a disciple of his thinking. His thinking was that the majority of people want to be in their own business, but they just don't know where to get started. And as you mentioned earlier, it's really the schools have done a very poor job today, and parenting has done a poor job of sort of creating that independent entrepreneurial thinking. And so this gentleman created a system back in 1988 of sort of engaging people at that dream stage. And sort of what I do is I sort of follow the system, and I've sort of made it my own in many, many ways because of my own personal experience. And, you know, if I look at my 45-year work career, 30 years have been in independent startup businesses, technology businesses, buying businesses, selling, 15 years in franchising. I just believe the fact that we can help more people if we focus on what their goals are, what their needs are, what their income goals are, what their work-life balance goals are. Do they understand what equity is about? Do they understand how to create wealth in your own business? And so what we do is we take people through a process that can take anywhere from 2 to 6 months where the foundation is creating their own vision of what the goal looks like. What are they trying to do? And then because franchises tend to be more prescribed businesses that you can analytically evaluate and understand what a day in the life looks like, we then take people through evaluating different businesses, and now it becomes a piece of a puzzle that they're trying to fit into their whole life goals.
And are you finding that your primary clients are individuals who are, you know, maybe, you know, in their, you know, early days of, quote, a career? Or are these individuals who maybe have a significant amount of business experience, don't know what to do now, or maybe have retired, sure. Quote, retired, I don't like to use the word that, but, you know, have started a next phase of their life and then find that maybe that dream of playing golf every day wasn't all that it was cracked up to be?
My client base has really evolved and changed over the last couple of years, specifically since 2008 and the Great Recession.
Oh, sure.
Prior to that, it was really the 55-year-old guy, primarily, who lost his job, executive level, had money, and really needed to do something. You know, today, my clients are mothers trying to invest in their sons, husbands and wives saying, you know, we want to do something together and develop something for the future. It's younger couples who really and these are hardworking younger couples with good jobs who are saying that I know this job is not going to last me forever. I know something's going to happen. Somebody's going to buy my company and I'm going to lose my job, not because of who I am or the work I do. So actually the profile has evolved significantly from what it was years ago. And like today, I'm a guest actually at the Microsoft campus, third time in 7 years where they've gone through major layoffs, and I'm dealing with 35 to 50-year-old people who are very bright, top of their game, technology workers, and because of changes in the corporate goals, they're now faced with some kind of a transition. And there's that understanding that the company is not going to protect them. That's what happened in 2008. You could preach this prior to that till you're turned blue in the face.
Right.
But when people—
Never going to happen to me.
Yeah, when they understand that loyalty is not on the balance sheet, that effectively you work for themselves. And there's some interesting statistics. You know, 31% today of workers are 1099 workers, not W-2 workers. And for those who don't know what that is, 1099 basically is contractors. Mm-hmm. And that is projected to go to 50% in the next 15 to 20 years. So we do work for ourselves. And we're in an at-will state where the company with 60 days notice can say, I love you, but I'm going to miss you. And so it's a natural opportunity to create high-quality educational programs to help people how to move forward. And I hope I can talk a little bit, get a chance about some of the work I do with the libraries, because this is a statewide movement, not only in the educational side, but through the Small Business Administration, libraries, et cetera, to help educate people.
You know, you certainly can talk about the libraries, and we do have some time still for that. However, I do have a question, and I'm going to kind of turn into a hot or not. I read this on your website, and so I'm assuming it's hot, but I want you to expound upon why it's hot. Your quote was, far too many give up on their dreams of self-sufficiency. And you've talked a little bit in the last two questions. Can you talk a little bit more about that quote and what that means to some of the people who might be listening?
Sure. Well, what I believe today is that first of all, you have to be hardworking. You have to be a lifetime learner. And if you go, and you have to be motivated, and sometimes family motivates us or fear of failure motivates us, whatever your motivation is. And I think if you're going to succeed in this world and you're going to win and create financial security for yourself, you're going to do that whether you work for somebody or you work for yourself. So what is really the difference? And I think the difference is when you get offered a job, you immediately get the medical benefits and the pay, et cetera. So it's a short-term gratification. Highly likely you might lose that job 3 to 4 years from now. If you start your own business, then you've got the pain in the first couple of years. They say being an entrepreneur is like living the first 2 years of your life like nobody wants to, so you can live the rest of your life like everybody wants to. And so that's what I meant in that quote, is that if you fundamentally have the energy, the effort, the principles of running a business well, and part of what I try to do is educate folks that it's not only the idea, it's the fundamental business planning, it's the assumptions, it's the financial planning. If you can get comfortable with those, and there's a lot of support in our community, then why not do it for yourself?
I'd like to ask about that support, because one of the things that I think that many people may think about is, well, where do I come up with the money? Because you said it right. I mean, we've all been there. We've all been in that situation, that first 2 years of running a business, and we all handled that differently. But there are a lot of individuals out there that basically say, well, you know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I don't have parents that can loan me money. I don't have a big bankroll of money. So how are you finding that some of your clients are funding that the first 2 years like nobody wants? Because basically they're not taking a lot of money home, but there's still overhead. There's still expenses that they've got to meet to make the business run.
Sure. Well, there's several ways of doing that. And you know, I also want to make sure that I'm saying that if you work for someone for a period of years and you do a good job and you provide value for the work you do, that's okay as long as you're learning and then you're creating a corpus of funds that you can apply. So
there you go.
So just, you know, being a 22-year-old and wanting to be in your own business has a little higher degree of risk. And so what I see people doing is, if it's a husband and wife working, one might start the business, one might continue to make sure the food gets on the plate. Today, people can use, the SBA has a good lending program. If you're a military veteran, there's some really good programs. Friends and family are still a big resource today for lending to help someone get started. Mm-hmm. And then there's the concept of just bootstrapping. Keep your job, realize your job isn't the future. Work on the business at night. Work on it when you have time.
You know, Jeff, as Brad said, we have a lot more questions, but now we're going to have to take a break. And you get a chance to catch your breath a little bit while we hear from our next sponsor. When we come back with Jeff Levy, our guest, for our fun Plead the Fifth section, we're going to find out if Jeff has ever had to tell one of his clients, "You're fired." Don't walk away. We'll be right back with more from the Shrimp Tank.
The Seattle Shrimp Tank is brought to you by Toro Consulting. Dan Wheaton helps small and medium-sized business owners and entrepreneurs to grow, develop, and protect their business to create a better life for themselves and their employees. Dan helps companies to improve revenue generation, accelerate leadership development, and ferociously protect profits. If you would like a complimentary 30-minute consultation with Dan as a Shrimp Tank listener, then text Shrimp Tank to 360-271-1592 or email at dan@danwheaton.com to schedule your time. Contact Dan today to get started on dramatically improving your business and life. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we interview young entrepreneurs along with some of the brightest and best CEOs in Seattle. I'm Brad Berger, along with my esteemed co-host Dan Wheaton. You can always catch a replay of this podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. We would love for you, if you are a subscriber, to rate us. We always love the feedback that we get from our listeners. And for our next segment, Plead the Fifth.
Did you like my lead into that?
I loved your lead into that.
I didn't
that.
Do the "you're fired" as well as Donald Trump did.
Or I'll be back. You're not going to be back or whatever it is.
You're terminated.
Terminated.
In fact, Arnold got terminated, didn't he? So my question is around this. Have you ever had to... Oh, I better tell you what we're doing.
Sure.
Plead the Fifth. I took for granted on that. Plead the Fifth is we're going to ask you a question, and you have the right, like if you were on in a courtroom, sure. You can plead the Fifth, but you can only do it once. Okay, so use those wisely. So here's the first Plead the Fifth, and again, you win nothing at the end of this. Jeff, have you ever had to tell any of your clients that they are not cut out to be an entrepreneur?
No, I have never done that. However, I set guidelines with my clients as to what is expected, and I tell them up front that if you put in 100%, I'll put in 110%. If you put in 50%, I'm gone. So it's really just matching their energy. And so basically, if they're not doing what they need to do, if they're not showing up, if their attitude isn't what it needs to be, we'll have a candid conversation, but I don't fire them. They fire themselves.
Right. So do you think it's within everybody though? I mean, I know some people may seem to be more cut out to be an employee, but do you think the possibilities within anybody to be an entrepreneur?
At some point in their life, yes. I mean, if they're really not prepared now, if they're financially not prepared, if they're unrealistic in just understanding of business, that means that today they may not be ready. But I'd like to talk with them about what do they need to do to be ready in the future.
Cool.
And come back.
So, Jeff, nobody ever said this was going to be comfortable. So here's a Plead the Fifth. Have you ever put somebody in a franchise that you later regretted?
No.
Oh,
no.
And
candidly, because I'm really, when you say the word put people in a franchise, that gives me too much authority, too much responsibility.
That's fair.
I am really, really clear that after they sign a franchise agreement, it's sort of Jeff who. They're moving on and they're in the culture they're part of. And I will tend to stretch things out until I feel that they've thought all the things and then have them make sure that they're going to be responsible for it. So I don't take responsibility for the great successes, and I don't take responsibility for sometimes what doesn't work out exactly as it should.
So, Jeff, I'd love to get your perspective, because I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are interested in this as well. Of course, we're up here in, you know, technology land. You mentioned that you were at Microsoft and talking to individuals there. Many individuals there clearly have a tech focus. I would imagine, you know, they obviously have a broader set of skill sets as well. But what are you finding are the hottest businesses or trending businesses, especially not only for the general public, but then if you might break it down for those individuals that, for example, that we just used that example at Microsoft.
Sure. Well, many of the folks coming out of the technology sector are looking for disruptive technologies, coming up with the next software that's going to change the world. And I think a very small percentage of them actually get there. And for many, many reasons. One, they try to do it with groups of people, not understanding the economics of everybody trying to make a six-figure income. In the franchise world, where I tend to focus a lot with some of these transitioning folks, is I'll say hair salons. You'd be amazed how many technology people work and dabble in project management in technology, but own hair salons. I just placed someone in a company that actually does IT managed services, and it's a little closer to what their comfort zone is. But if I can name a success story, there's a client of mine that came out of Microsoft that bought a water and mold remediation business. So when you have a leak in your house, and he now has 25 to 30 employees, including some of his family, and just doing great. He came back to a Microsoft Alumni Association meeting and was one of our panelists to talk about just how rewarding it was to get out of that particular rat race and do something that really makes a difference.
So do you find when people are looking for businesses, is it something they tend to already know about and are passionate about, or is it tend to be more about systems and processes and the back? Because I just only imagine it would take a special individual, I think, to be passionate about water and mold, restoration.
Sure. Yeah. I think that if I'm successful in my work, it's the passion about what they want their life to look like.
Got it.
How do they create the financial security? How do they create a higher quality of life for themselves and their family? And then it doesn't make a difference whether it's water or mold or something else.
Or a hair salon.
Or a hair salon, exactly.
So we've got water, mold, and hair all in the same thing
it works.
Hey, listen, we're going to have to turn up the heat on the plead the fifth. We've been a little bit too easy. It looks like no Sandy Koufax fastball, so now we're going to have to go up a little bit more. So plead the fifth, Jeff. The biggest mistake you've ever experienced in your business life?
Oh, boy.
I got him to say that, at least.
There you go. That's a good start.
This will be a very candid answer.
Okay. Extremely
candid answer. Probably underestimating some of my own personal wealth or contribution in some of the partnerships I've been in. And I think that's just a candid answer. I've been in early-stage partnerships with folks where my experience and hard work, as well as theirs, ended up creating a significant amount of value. And I did well as part of my ownership, but I just didn't have enough confidence in those early days to say, hey, you know, I'm worth more than 7% of the company. I'm worth 12% or whatever. So I think if I could look back, I'd probably say I would have developed my New York attitude earlier or brought it with me in terms of that ego.
So I got a quick question. What New York Brooklyn attitude have you brought with you, and where has that been most valuable in your business life?
You know, it's a belief that if you can make it in New York, which is tough,
right,
then you could make it anywhere.
I think there's
a good song there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we can sing it over a beer later. Yeah.
I think some tough New York kind of guy sang that at some point. But because I've worked with people from New York and these guys, and there is, you know, there's a little bit different, and they're good people, sure, but there's a little bit more of a kind of a confidence.
There's an edge.
Confidence. And there's something to that when you pull out your own shingle or whatever and say I'm betting on myself. Yeah. That's an important part of being an entrepreneur, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've had to sand that edge around a little bit, but I used to have a nickname of Bulldog. When I got my teeth around something, I just wouldn't give up on it, and I think that just comes out of growing up in New York and just growing up in the competitiveness and growing up Just with so many people, but at the same time, so many opportunities. And you really were on your own in terms of choosing a direction, putting in the effort, and making it happen.
So, Jeff, I want to make sure that we give you time because you mentioned something that you wanted to talk about. So let's give you an opportunity. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do in the library system.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. I, like most people, think the libraries sort of were outdated and out of date, and I was actually very wrong. And I was contacted by the Small Business Administration, who wanted to start putting together educational programs and was co-partnering with the library. So about 4 or 5 years ago, we started a committee with just three people: head librarian of Seattle, a business development person of the SBA, and myself. And we put together a two-hour seminar that was based around my book and actually titled very, very similarly. That today, that program today is now given in every library system in Western Washington, Pierce County, Snow Isle, King County, Seattle Library System. But it has evolved so that I give this cornerstone talk in the beginning of the year and then in the middle of the year. And now we have then evaluated what are the other topics that our constituency needs, and we have programs on marketing, program on finance, program on operations, programs on compliance, and they're actually branded under Your Business Start Smart by the SBA and the library system. We are extremely well funded for it, and I'm speaking tomorrow night at the Delridge Library in West Seattle. And I'm really proud of what we've touched, and we keep, because of the way the funding comes, we have to really keep track of this. We've touched probably over 800 people that would not have access to going to a college, would not have access to other kind of input. And part of what we do is we then teach them how to get integrated into the community. Where do you go after we've started to identify what the things are that you need?
Well, as always, you know, one of the goals that we have here at the Shrimp Tank is to provide our listeners with not only great information, but phenomenal resources to touch out to. And I want to say, Jeff, I think you ring the bell on every count there, because we want to thank you for coming into the show today. But I also want to make sure that our listeners have an opportunity, if they want to reach out to you, that they know how to get a hold of you. So how would they get a hold of you?
Sure. Probably the easiest way is my webpage is theesource, theesource.com, then put a forward slash and then J Levy. And that's the easy way to find me. Or if you do a Google search, you'll find me all over the place and probably a lot more about me than you really want.
And your last name is spelled L-E-V-Y.
L-E-V-Y, right. Yes. And you can also look up the book, Making the Jump into Small Business Ownership, on any book platform, and you'll be able to find me there.
So I'm reaching into my memory. Hopefully this is going to work out, and this is going to be a great tie-in. Your co-author on your book was?
David Nielsen.
And that's what I thought, because I've read your book, and I think it's excellent. And I know David. He and I have met. And our next guest, coincidentally, on our next show, is his father, David.
Absolutely.
Or excuse me, Ralph. So it's David's...
David's dad is
dad, Ralph.
Ralph Sr.
Right. And Ralph is our next guest. He'll be with us on March 22nd. Again, another individual that I've been introduced to. He does very similar work to you. I know you know him. And we're going to be excited to have him on the show.
Yeah, he's actually a partner with me. He works with me in my group, and we enjoy each other very much. And David had his first child last night, a 7-pound little girl named Lucy.
So that's something that we'll have to talk to Ralph about when he comes in a couple of weeks.
It's already in my head.
There you go.
It's already in my head.
You're already.
I'm all over.
You're already working your plead the fifth and hot or not questions on that. So we make sure that you check out all the replays on seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com, and remember to become a shark. We all start out as shrimps.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'm a leader. The charge like a federal fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.